mothers.
And others.
Somewhere in the music industry, between sex, drugs and rock and roll and the Wiggles, is the rest of us. Music Mothers and Others is an audio parents group about popular music. A chance to discuss how parenting fits or doesn't into music industry life. During the series, we'll talk to people from across the industry, artists, promoters, techs, broadcasters, writers, academics, teachers, or anyone who has a gig in industry, whatever that means. Your hosts are Liz.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
And Shelley. Hi, that's me.
And we are industry veterans, academics and parents, as well as members of the broader village.
Today, our Music Mother and Others guest is Andrew P. Street. He's an Adelaide-based author, journalist, musician and other things. Andrew, have we missed some of the other things you do? Would you like to tell us?
Oh, I think Bon Vivant, Man About Town, raconteur, exhausted parent who has had about 3 hours sleep done in kind of fitful 40-minute bursts. Yeah, I'm chugging coffee here, so apologies in advance for the sound of desperate gulping that will permeate this conversation.
This is all very acceptable. you're with your people.
Thank you. I feel very safe. I feel seen.
Andrew, do you want to start by just telling us what your involvement is with kids in your professional role?
I work from home and my wife has a full-time job. I try to cram a week's worth of work into the front end of the week and then run around parks with two small boys, who are mine, I should make clear. I don't sort of just recruit them and find parks to go hang out in.
Having said that, though, you might have friends and nephews and extended others. That's what happens, isn't it? They attract other small people.
Oh, this is 100% true. One of the beauties of having moved back to Adelaide, because my wife's from Sydney and I was living in Sydney for over a decade, was that I have most of my siblings here, and most of my siblings have got sons. So I have a ridiculous amount of nephews that my boys play with. All of whom live sort of within blocks of us as well. It's weird. It wasn't really planned, but four of the extended kind of street family all within about 5 minutes walk of one another.
What's your connection when you were a kid with music?
I've been reliving that very indulgently, particularly with my eldest, James, with the Muppets, because I'm pretty sure the first band I ever fell in love with was Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. Specifically, the song that they do in the Muppet movie, Can You Picture That?, which is a banger. In fact, I was DJing, which we get to do in South Australia at this particular point in history, and James was helping Daddy DJ, in inverted commas, and one of the things that we dropped was Can You Picture That? And I'd love to say that it just set the room on fire. The reality is everybody kept having their lunch. But still, I felt that internally they felt the magic of the teeth.
And what was it about? What was it about the song or about the band when you were a kid that you really connected with?
Well, they just looked so cool. And it's just that cool thing. I mean, you know this from bands. Bands are just fun. And I think that was the first time that I ever thought, oh, God, it would be so fun just being, you know, in a dilapidated church, being visited by a frog and a bear, where you're just hanging out with your mates and making insanely loud music. And it's funny the way that my boys and my nephews have kind of gravitated towards that as well, to the point where technically James is now in two bands, one with his younger brother and two of his cousins, and another one with a mate of his, who are called Ocean Motion and Goldilocks, respectively, which I think are way better names than any band I've ever been in. And I feel a little bit angry about that. But James and Ted watch Stop Making Sense pretty much every weekend. It makes me so, so, so proud.
And you're sharing these songs or these, kids' TV shows from childhood with the kids? Is it something you're waiting for it to come on the TV, or you're seeking it out online?
Oh, very much seeking it out. Very, very much had a lot of this stuff primed. Well, we definitely made playlists for James. We haven't done that so much with Teddy, because I think it's a learning process of how to properly indoctrinate your children. Because I found out with my nephews that you can't go in too hard too early, because otherwise they get really bored with Star Wars. So you've got to kind of wait your moment to spring that on them. And it's kind of the same with Talking Heads, it turns out. You really need to just wait your moment. And then there's those magical moments where they surprise you. Like, we were driving to daycare and I had 3D Radio, a local community station, on, and they played Boys Don't Cry. And James was just going, "Daddy, I love this. What's this?" And I was just like, "Yes! Yeah! Don't get too excited. Don't get too excited. This is a band called The Cure. If you want to have a listen to some of their stuff, I suppose I've probably got everything that is on vinyl or original pressing. Or do you want the German pressings?" Hey, go for it.
The boys don't cry. The boys don't cry.
So, some of it has been, you'll always have those disappointments, like when you sort of put on Doolittle and you expect their little minds to be blown and then they just kind of wander off. But I'll take the wins when they come.
Yeah, and the joy of them discovering it when it comes into their orbit, as opposed to, the anticipation of a reaction when you actually put it on, and then the subsequent letdown because they're just, they just want to eat their afternoon tea and they don't want to hear that track where that guy's screaming. They just want, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that being said, they love, because we watch ABC Kids a lot. Like, that's kind of the sort of background rhythm of the household, and so things like the Teeny Tiny Stevies and La La's Big Live Band, and not as much of the Wiggles as I was kind of fearing. They kind of gravitated, like Big Block Sing Song. That's another big favorite in the street towers, and and so they've definitely got their own stuff that they really like. And we've got sort of Kindling on at night when they are sort of doing the, what I like to pretend is going to sleep, but turns out to often be an optimistic way of approaching it. So there's a lot of music in the house generally, and they've definitely got the stuff that they like, and they're not shy about telling me what. The big thing at the moment actually is the soundtrack to Muppets Most Wanted. That's the thing that James is very into. And hearing him do an impersonation of Constantine the Evil Frog is a genuine delight.
My daughter, she could feel my desperation to have her love it. And so her first, she had 2-year-old Teenage Rebellion because she felt how much I wanted her to love it and so didn't.
Yeah.
And did the opposite with the Wiggles. I was like, oh, I don't know about this, and has gone hard. And same with La La. I hate La La with a passion. Like, she... Sammy just goes there. Like, Sammy just is, when I'm particularly vulnerable, that's what she picks on Ivy, and she knows it. She's anyway.
See, my theory with why Teddy loves La La is it's all down to Tom Tom, the drummer. Like, he's a man who's got expression when he plays, but like, quite literally, he sort of often looks like he's very surprised at his drums, which I like in a drummer. It reminds me of Rusty from You and Mine.
You're listening to 2SER FM.
What do you think about the idea of not telling kids what you like or what you don't like? Like, that's something that I'm trialing at the moment. Like, even if I despise something that comes on the radio, because we have We have community radio here in Melbourne just on 24/7 in our house. Mm-hmm. And or even if the TV comes on and there's a particular ABC TV kids show I'm not fond of, I'm trying to hold back and actually not say whether or not I love this or not. And there's things that I particularly despise, but I've decided to just like remove myself out just to sort of see if my daughter will actually make her own mind up about her tastes. Mm-hmm. But it requires a lot of self-restraint.
Yeah, look, I think as a bunch of, you know, music nerds with strong opinions, it's extremely hard to sit there going like, yeah, what do you think of this? Although I have found it's that even with stuff that I don't necessarily dig, it tends to become part of the family vernacular in a weird sort of a way. Like the there's just been a series of sort of contemporary artists doing songs on Play School, and it's mainly doing the nursery rhymes. But there's one with Earth Boy from The Herd, and the song's fine as far as it goes, but there's just this introduction that he does where he goes, "So everybody, let's bump a deedle dance." And bumping a deedle dance has now become very much like the go-to phrase in the household. It's like, oh, well, we should just bump a deedle dance then. You know, that could mean anything from get in a shower or, you know, pack the car or go to the park. And it's just like, oh, well, no, it's time to bump a deedle dance. And it's
ours is, did you know coconuts have water in them? And you know, today is a real coconuts have water in them day, you know.
Wow.
You
just, yeah. I'm feeling that.
Yeah, you're so awesome.
Bluey is just...
It's a good thing, really, isn't it? It's just a game changer. And in a way, I'm sort of super glad that I have a child that's growing up now when the episodes are being made and, the second series was released and it's all going live, and it's like we're living this moment of awesome TV that's so aware of what the parents need as well as what the kids are enjoying. And I said this to Liz quite a long time ago, but I remember when my daughter sat down and I was in a different room and Bluey came on the TV and I didn't really know what it was. I wasn't too sure. And I heard her laugh that full-bellied kid laugh from the bottom of her stomach. And I just hadn't heard that laugh probably ever or, you know, not in relation to a bubble or something strange. But it was just like, that is just pure joy emanating from my child because she just loves this show. Let's go check it out.
It is so ridiculously well observed. I mean, every time I'm at childcare dropping the boys off, it's like it's a room full of bingo. It's just all these kids just... Bingoing like that's a verb, right? I bingo, you bingo, he, she, it bingos. I mean, I still remember like the moment because I'd sort of heard about it before, like, you know, pre-release stuff, and I knew that Dave McCormack was involved, and I'm a massive, massive Custard fan, so I was just like, well, obviously I'm watching this. And then I think it was the first one I saw was the episode where they were playing hospital and Bingo explained that she was the nurse, and then Bandit said, "Hello, my name is Telemachus." And I was just like, right, I'm on board. This is perfect.
Something else we ask people is just about their personal carer's role. And you've mentioned already that you're a parent, but, you know, this is a show for mothers and others, so we're interested in people who are aunties, uncles, all part of the village, you know, and looking after kids in that way. How have you found that role, whether it's direct or indirect, in relationship to your work? You mentioned a bit before about the logistics of who's home and who's not, but has there been any integration? Has there been any kind of, you know, how have you juggled those things? Do you ignore them? Do you put them together? What do you do?
I used to do when I first had James, I felt way more qualified to sort of write father articles, you know, like, you know, this is me parenting. And it was partially because it was all I was doing. It was just, you know, so all encompassing. And I feel like the more I've done it, and now that I've got two kids and I'm very involved with my nephews and I'm, you know a lot more of my kids' friends and stuff like that, I feel woefully unqualified to write about it now. Like, I just, I, I, almost feel like giving advice. Well, not even giving advice, because I wasn't really doing that, but sort of, you know, giving my oh-so-important observations about the parenting process just seemed so condescending, because I was just like, it's such a personal thing and it's such an individual thing, and not only is it different from kid to kid, but it's different from minute to minute with the same kid. And so I've kind of drifted out of directly writing about it and, you know, going for much less complicated things like federal politics, which is just like, you know, you're dealing with childish adults rather than actual children. And that's, they're much more predictable.
There's more tantrums?
There are many, many more tantrums. Although, I mean, to be fair, you know, at no point have any of the kids in my life, you know, attempted to use public funds to pork barrel ahead of an election, which, and I'm not saying they couldn't.
Yes.
If anything, I'd say they'd do a better job of it and they'd cover it up more impressively. I mean, although it is similar in that any time that a politician's gone quiet for a while, you're like, what are they doing?
Yes.
You know, in the same way, you know, you just know you're going to pull the door open. It's just like, are you pooing on the floor? Oh, treasurer. Whoa, satire. Yeah, so it's not really something that I do very often, unless somebody specifically asks.
You did talk about James is helping you DJ, though. Like, you literally bring in...
There is that.
Yeah, how does that work?
It's mainly involves giving him headphones and him picking records and then kind of pointing to... what track he thinks should be played, which, given that he can't read at this point, is largely theoretical. It's kind of like, you know, yeah, we're not going to be playing that, James. But
you could just be leaving him at home and have music be your time, not their time, but you're choosing to make it a shared thing. Is that logistics?
Well,
is
it- it's just fun. It's just like the kids... I love that that my kids love music. I mean, particularly Teddy, my youngest... James is very enthusiastic about music and he gets very excited about music and he sort of, you know, we have a lot of instruments in the house and he sort of fiddles around with them. Ted's somewhere else. Like he does what his dad does, which is if something amazing comes on, he will stop dead and he'll just shut down. It's like, okay, I'm listening to this now. This is what's happening. And every time he does it, my wife just sort of looks at me like, I know what you're thinking at this point. I'm just sitting there going, my boy. Because, you know, James loves music, but he loves it like the way he loves sport or the way he loves Lego or love, you know, it's like it's a thing that he does and he enjoys it. But Ted, there's just something that goes straight to the cortex, which, you know, probably means he's doomed, of course, like the rest of us. Like, let's get into the music, Piers. There's so much to be found there. What a lucrative place to be.
Well, it's probably a good point to think about. Liz and I are interested in knowing what changes to the music industry you might recommend that would make it a more kid-friendly and parent-friendly space.
We've taken James to a couple of, like, baby raves, and we've definitely taken him to a couple of, like, kid gigs. We haven't really with Ted, because sort of it's only really now that he's sort of old enough, I think, to enjoy them. And, you know, obviously nothing's really happening. The specific kids stuff that we went to, which was mainly in Sydney, was that, you know, the volume was low and it was all very, you know, it was in the middle of the day and they had pram parking and stuff like that. You know, all those things that are just such a hassle when you're going to, say, you know, going to a venue and it's like, well, where the hell do I, you know, I can't put my pram in the aisle. I can't leave it out in the street. It's just those little niggles that are really irritating. Periodically, like Dee and I would sort of occasionally go like, we could probably take the kids to Golden Plains, right? We could do that. Kids, people do that. And then I think about how we've been at Golden Plains on previous occasions. I'm like, that's not going to work. No.
Not until they can change your nappies, babe.
Not until they're prepared to, like, you know, kick in for the case of beer.
Hi, I'm Bill from Teeny Tiny Stevies, and you're listening to Music Mothers and Others.
The last thing we ask people is what you and the kids are listening to. And it can be anything. It can be kid stuff or stuff that's kid claimed, like you were talking about before. So is there something in particular that is really happening with you all together at the moment, listening-wise?
We've got the new Teeny Tiny Stevies record. They are lovely.
The kids and I, as in Odette and I, were listening to Björk. Oh, Liz, I've forgotten yours now.
No Rain.
So if you can tell us a song, we can play it on the show.
I mean, apart from Teeny Tiny Stevies, the one that's really big in the family at the moment is Boys Don't Cry. That's ever since James heard that, he's wanted to hear it most days, which we are very happy to accommodate.
The reason we got No Rain is because Patrick and I, we wanted a song that we liked that we used as a lullaby. That's why she asks for it now. But you know, it's a fine line between pleasure and pain.
Speaking of which, because Spicks and Specks is on right after ABC Kids finishes, Chrissy Amphlett was on Spicks and Specks the other day, and James asked, "Who's the lady?" And Dee and I were just like, "Okay, yeah. Let's have a little trip down Divinyl's Lane," and I played him a bunch of videos. I'm Andrew P. Street, and you're listening to Music Mothers and Others.
Music, Mothers and Others is written, edited and presented by Liz Dufray and Shelley Brunt. It's a radio show on 2SER FM in Sydney, broadcast on Mondays at 7:30 p.m. and also a podcast. Find our podcast episodes on Wooshka or at musicmothersandothers.com. You can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook and other social media outlets to see who we will be interviewing in forthcoming episodes. See you next time.